truly how great and awesome God we do serve. I appreciate Max leading us in that, very encouraging, uplifting him, how great thou art. I appreciate the good prayer that Michael led us in a few moments ago, and appreciate the good reading that Steve just gave to us there from Matthew chapter 6. I'd like to encourage everyone to keep your Bibles opened up there to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to spend our time there in the text of verses 25 through 34, talking about our lesson this morning titled, Do Not Worry. You see, to worry can be defined as to give way to anxiety or unease, to allow one's mind to dwell on difficulty or troubles. I venture to say that each and every one of us here this day have probably been one who has at some point in time in our lives worried about something, right? I venture to say that there's each and every one of us here have at some point in time gave way to anxiety or unease, or allowed our minds to dwell on difficulty or troubles. But although it is sometimes easier said than done, we need not to be one who continually dwells upon worries about the things of this life. And there in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, Jesus specifically teaches that one should not worry. And it is very important that we are all reminded of the need to be a people who do not worry about this or that. So with that thought in mind, let's take some time this morning to examine the instruction of Jesus found here in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. And let's seek to understand the importance of not being one who worries about the things of this life. And I begin by suggesting to you, do not worry about what you will eat, drink, or wear, and know that your life is composed of more than physical things. Before we get too far in the study, it's important that we understand the context of this lesson. You notice that verse 25 begins with the word therefore. Anytime we see that word therefore, we need to go back to find out what it's there for. And in order to find out what the previous thought was before, we need to go back to understand the context here. We can go back, going back there to verses 19, where Jesus he warns about materialism. Going back here to verse number 24, the verse before verse 25, we see here where Jesus, he informed that no man can serve two masters. And to fully understand what Jesus is about to say here, beginning in verse number 25, we need to understand that Jesus, he's gave some warning. He's gave some warning in regard to materialism. He's gave some warning in regarding to trying to serve two masters. He made it very clear that you can't serve both riches and God. Now he says, picking up in verse number 25, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? You see, to be simply put, what Jesus is saying here in verse number 25 is that your life, it is more than the material. He is making it very clear here that one's life, it is composed of more than just things of the physical nature. And he's emphasizing the need, don't worry about what you'll eat, drink, or what you'll wear. But know that your life is more than that. Know that your life is composed of more than the material or the physical. And here he's emphasizing the need to recognize what is most important. Think about that. Think about what he just said there in verse number 24. Let's jump up there and read that. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Jesus is emphasizing the need to understand and to recognize what's most important. And brethren, we all need to get our priorities straight. We need to understand what is the most important in this life. We need to understand what life is all about, what our purpose in life is. The wise man informed us of that there in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, didn't he? Remember the wise man? We're going to talk about Solomon a little bit. Jesus mentions him here in the text that we're going to talk about in a few moments. But Solomon, he was a man who was the wisest man on earth. He had wealth beyond measure. But he recognized that all things were vanity, didn't he? And do you remember what the conclusion of the matter that he came to? What did he say there to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 13? The whole conclusion of the matter is what? Or man's all is to what? Fear God and keep his commandments. Simply put, through it all, Solomon, the wisest man on earth, understood that the only thing that matters, what life is all about, what the whole duty of man is, what the purpose of man is to respect and obey God. That's what matters most. And again, that's exactly what Jesus is emphasizing here in verse number 25. He's emphasizing the need for us to recognize what is most important. And that, my friends, is that of serving God. That's what's most important. You see, it is God who gave the body, but it is also God who gave the soul. And we need to understand that our life is composed of more than just physical things. We need to understand and recognize that our attention, it shouldn't be composed upon the material, physical things of this world, but rather our focus needs to be upon heaven. Our focus needs to be on heaven and not on the wallowing in frustration and doubt concerning temporal things of this life. And Jesus, he says, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, or what you're going to wear. But know that your life, it is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Indeed, we need to be reminded of that. And when I think about that, I can't help but to think about the question Jesus asked there in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. And do you remember what Jesus asked there? He said, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Think about that. We know the answer to that question, don't we? Absolutely nothing. Not a thing will any man profit if he gained all the material possessions of this world, but yet loses his own soul. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying here. Hey, don't worry about the physical thing. Don't worry about what you're going to put in your belly, what you're going to put over your back. But know that your life is more than food and the body more than clothing. Remember that. Understand that we need to put our focus upon what is most important. And know that your life, it is more than food and the body more than clothing. But we also learn here in verse number 26, where Jesus is emphasizing the need not to worry because we are of much more value to God. Here in verse 26, Jesus, he says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Then he asked, are you not of more value than they? I want you to kind of picture the scene here in your mind for a moment. Going back to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1, we see where the setting is set. Jesus is on a mountaintop. And his disciples, it has been set down before him. There's a great multitude. And they're set down as Jesus is teaching or preaching what is commonly referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. And you can kind of just picture this scene in your mind for a moment. Picture that it was probably a scene where there probably would have been birds or fowl flying around in the air, right? Jesus could have used those as a visual aid at this moment, couldn't he? Knowing that there was probably these birds flying around in the air as Jesus was instructing and teaching. And he says, look at the birds of the air. They could probably look out there and see these birds flying around in the air. And he says, for these birds, they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. But yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And then he asked, but aren't you of much more value than they? Aren't you of much more value than those birds flying in the air? They understood. They understood that they were, right? You see, and oftentimes the worry that many have over the material things of this life, you know what? It's often rooted in a low understanding of their value before God. Sadly, many do not comprehend just how much God does love and care for them. You see, we need to understand, brethren, that our God, as we just sung just a few moments ago, He is great. He is awesome. He is a loving, caring, compassionate God who cares for us. You see, we are of much more value than those birds of the air because we are made in the image of God. And because we are made in the image of God, we are of much more value than those birds of the air. And if God will take care of and feed those birds of the air, don't you think He's going to care for us? Make sure that we get the necessities of life that we need? You better believe it. And in verse 26, that's exactly what Jesus is saying here. Jesus tells us that God provides and takes care of the birds of the air. Therefore, we should understand and expect that God will likewise take care of us. He's also going to take care of us. Knowing that, we are of much more value to God. When I think about being of much more value than birds, I can't help but to think about what Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 31. And in the context there, Jesus is teaching the need to fear God. But in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 31, there Jesus informed that you are of more value than many sparrows. Again, we are of much more value than the birds of the air. And if God will care for them, we need to have the confidence and the understanding that He's also going to likewise care for us. For we are much more valuable than they. But we also learn here in verse number 27 of Matthew chapter 6, the need not to worry because worrying, it accomplishes absolutely nothing. Did you know that? Did you know that worry accomplishes absolutely nothing? You see, Jesus emphasizes this here in verse 27 when he asked this rhetorical question. And that question he asked was, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to a stature? Obviously, we know that there's not any man who could add anything to his life by worrying. Not a single cubit to his stature or even a single hour to his life. We're not going to add anything or accomplish anything by worrying, are we? And that's exactly what Jesus is emphasizing here in verse number 27. You see, Jesus is simply saying that it's useless to worry. He is saying that worrying accomplishes nothing. Think about that. You see, it has been said that there is nothing more self-defeating or useless than that of worrying. You ever heard that before? There is nothing, and I repeat, there is nothing more self-defeating and useless than worry. And you think about that, when you really get down to the crux of the matter, we recognize how true that is, right? You see, think about the only thing that comes as a result of worry. I don't know about you, but I've known of people who have absolutely worried themselves sick. I've known of people who have fretted upon things and dwelled upon things to the point that they have made themselves literally sick. It doesn't do any good, does it? And that is why we need to understand the importance of not being a people who dwell upon difficulty or troubles, who give way to anxiety or unease, remembering that it accomplishes absolutely nothing. You see, I've been told that worrying is a lot like a rocking chair, and that it will give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. Think about that. How true, right? How many of you have ever just kicked back and sit there in a rocking chair and just rocked back and forth for hours? But at all that time and all those hours that you're sitting there rocking back and forth, how far did you get? Didn't get anywhere, did you? The same's with worry. You can worry all you want, but I'm here to tell you, my friends, it's not going to get you anywhere. It's not going to accomplish anything. And that is why we need to always remember that worry does no good. We need to always remember that worry will not change anything. Worry will not solve any problem. Therefore, strive to be one who does not have an anxious mind. As Jesus said there in Luke chapter 12 and verse 29. And always remember to be anxious for nothing, but rather in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. But I also suggest to us this morning another lesson that we can learn in regard to the importance of not being a people who worry. It is we need to understand the need not to worry, knowing that we have a Father in heaven who knows our needs and that will take care of his own. We go on to see this there in verses 28 through 33. And again, Jesus is using nature as a visual point to illustrate his point. Here he's going to use the lilies of the field. And again, it's very possible that at the time when Jesus was preaching this Sermon on the Mount, that those lilies of the field may have been very visible. And here he says, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. He goes on to say there in verse number 30, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You see here, Jesus, picking up here in verse number 28, teaches that God takes care of the grass of the field. And then he emphasizes that if God so takes care of the grass of the field, he will certainly take care of those who seek him and put him first. And we need to have confidence in the power and care of our loving Father in heaven. We need to understand that if God's going to clothe the grass of the field, who neither toil nor spin. And by the way, he makes it the point that even these lilies of the field, he makes it a point that even that Solomon in all his glory, Solomon, that wise man, that very wealthy man who wanted for nothing, who certainly would have been arrayed very well. Jesus says, yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory wasn't arrayed like one of these, like the lily of the field, whom God clothes, provides, and cares for. And he emphasizes that if he'll do that, will he not much more clothe you? You see the point he's making? Think about it. He's making the point that we need to have trust in God. You see, there are many people who believe God, but when it comes right down to it, they don't believe God. They believe in him, but they don't believe in the things that he has said and promised. We must not be like that. We must recognize that God says what he means, and he means what he says. And when he tells us that he'll provide for us and that he'll care for us, we need to take him for his word. We need to have that confidence that he has the power to provide and care for our needs. You see, Jesus contrasted those who do not know God with those who do know God and receive his loving care there in verse number 32. At the time here when Jesus says, for all these things the Gentiles seek, at the time, you've got to remember the audience here, Jesus is speaking to Jews. Matthew, the book of Matthew, it's addressed to a Jewish audience. And we need to understand that these Gentiles, they would have been looked at this time as heathens. As heathens, those who don't even know or respect God. And here he's using them as a contrast to those who do not know God, to those who do know God and receive his loving care. And those who know God, they shouldn't prioritize in seeking after material things, like those Gentiles, those heathens. They shouldn't prioritize in seeking after material things. But rather, where should their priority be? In seeking spiritual things. You see, he says there in verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. It's important that we put that confidence in God, knowing that he knows what we need, as we see there in verse number 32. He knows what we need. And he also has the power and the ability to provide to us all those things that we need, as we see in verse 33. But another lesson that we can learn there in verse 30 in regard to the need not to worry is, we must not worry, knowing that worry is contributed to a lack of faith. Notice that with me, going back there to verse number 30. After Jesus is emphasizing the fact that God clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven. And he says, if he does that, won't he much more clothe you? He goes on to say, oh, you of little faith. You see, Jesus refers to those who worry as being of little faith. Simply put, worry, it reflects a weak faith. We need to be mindful of that. We need to remember the next time that we're overly anxious about this or that, we need to stop and get a hold of ourselves and remember, hey, we're a child of God. I believe God. I trust God. I got confidence that he can deliver me from this. Therefore, I'm not going to allow myself to worry about this. Knowing that worry reflects a weak faith. You see, being overly anxious about the material or temporal things of this life reflects not only a weak faith, but it also reflects a lack of confidence in God. That's dangerous, isn't it? Very dangerous. We need to beware of that. We must not be like that. But rather, as we mentioned earlier, we must always trust in our one true and living God and always place our confidence in him, never underestimating His power, His love, and His care for us. But we also need not to worry, but rather we need to replace worry with a sincere commitment to find and to do the will of God. Again, this can be emphasized there in verse number 33. When Jesus says, don't worry, and He talks about there in verse 31, therefore do not worry, saying what we'll eat or what we shall drink or what we shall wear. And He talks about how all those things the Gentile seeks, but your Father in heaven, He knows all these things. Then he says in verse 33, but He connects it. And He says, but don't worry, but do this. What, Jesus? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Why, Jesus? All these things shall be added to you. You see, it's important to note that the word to seek means to search for, to strive for. And when one takes action in seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, Jesus says the necessities of this life is going to be supplied to you. Therefore, we need to be mindful of the need not to worry about the necessities of life, the things such as the things as what we will eat, drink, or wear. We shouldn't worry about, again, the physical things. We should not be one who seeks the things of the world, but rather we need to be a people who seek first, who prioritize and seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And we need to be a people who always in everything we do, who put God and His will first. That's important. And guess what? When we replace worry with a sincere commitment to find and to do the will of God, you know what's going to be the outcome? God's going to take care of you. You're going to be all right. We need to be mindful of that. And we need to seek to do just that. But I also suggest to us this morning the need not to worry. The need not to worry about tomorrow, but rather to live one day at a time. You see, man is too often prone to worry about what he thinks is going to happen in the future. I don't know about you, but I know of many who are always thinking about and worrying about what's down the road. They're worried about and they're too prone to think about what they think is going to happen. But we need to be mindful of the need that most of the things that causes people to worry, first and foremost, those things are mostly out of their control. Most of the things that you often worry about, you need to recognize that most of those things, they're beyond your control. You have absolutely no control over them anyway. You see, I've been told before that 90% of the things that we worry about never even happen. And the other 10% that do happen, we have no control of anyway. How true, right? You see, and too often that is the case. Too often there are people who worry about this or that and worry about the future. And most of the time, those things that cause them to worry about never even happen. Never even happen. You see, I've heard an old man say one time, and I quote, "I've known a lot of troubles in my life, and most of them never happened," end quote. How true. I can contest to that. I'm sure many of you can too. We've all been guilty, I'm sure, at some point in time of worrying about something that we think was going to happen that never even happened. And that's why it's important, as Jesus emphasizes here in verse number 34, "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." You see, it isn't wrong to think about or to plan for tomorrow. But we must be mindful not to become too focused on tomorrow and let the present day and its own trouble be ignored. And that's the point Jesus is emphasizing here. Hey, don't be too focused about tomorrow. Because today's got its own trouble. You need to take one day at a time. And when Jesus says sufficient for the day is its own trouble, he's simply reminding us of the importance of living for the present day. We need to be careful not to get ahead of ourselves, don't we, brethren? You see, in the hustle and bustle of the life that we live in the 21st century, many of us are too prone to get the cart before the horse, so to speak, right? We get ahead of ourselves. We need to sometimes be reminded of the need just to slow down. We need to be reminded of the need just to take things one day at a time. Because you know what? The fact of the matter is, tomorrow's not guaranteed for any of us. Tomorrow may never come. And worrying about tomorrow, as Jesus points out here in verse 34, is just a way of borrowing trouble. You see, this present day is going to have its own troubles. And we need to take those troubles one day at a time. We need to take care of things one day at a time, don't we? We need to live one day at a time. Knowing that tomorrow is not guaranteed. It may never come. And we need to remember not to fret over the morrow, but rather to handle our problems one day at a time. Once again, brethren, I encourage you, do not worry, but always seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Keep the faith and live one day at a time. Maybe there is one here this morning who has not yet submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will. As we talked about earlier, we need to recognize what is the most important thing in this life. And that is that of fearing God and keeping His commandments. We need to remember that we are of value to God. We are made in His image, and He desires for all men to be saved. He loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son to die for us, so that we may live. And if there is one here this morning who has not yet submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will, we implore you to do that this very hour. For you too, as we talked about in our adult Bible class this morning, you can be washed in the blood of Jesus. You can be cleansed from your sins. And you too can be made alive in Christ. You too can have that hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. And if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus Christ before men. And you can be baptized this very hour for the remission of your sins. And may we all always remember the need to always keep on keeping on. The need to continue to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The need to continue to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised there in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one here this morning who's already submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will, but maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent of your sins, to confess them to God, and to get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour while you still have that opportunity to do so. And if you'd like to listen to the prayers of the saints here on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this morning, you'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation. Whatever your need may be, won't you let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front while we stand and sing the song of Max is Selected.